the processional hymn 143, Waken, O Sleeper, Wake and Rise. Welcome everybody to the Church of the Ascension this morning on this second Sunday before Advent. Our service is the order of Holy Communion, beginning with the opening greeting on page 201. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Thank you.
Father, whose blessed Son was revealed to destroy the works of the devil and to make us the children of God and heirs of eternal life. Grant that we, having this hope, may purify ourselves even as he is pure, that when he shall appear in power and great glory, we may be made like him in his eternal and glorious kingdom, where he is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The epistle is from the first letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When they say there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and there will be no escape. But you, beloved, are not in darkness for that day to surprise you like a thief, for you are all children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. So then, let us not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who are drunk, get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other, as indeed you are doing. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gradual hymn 219, From Heaven You Came, Helpless Babe.
Thank you.
the Gospel of our Saviour Christ according to St. Matthew, chapter 25, beginning at verse 14.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
For it is as if a man, going on a journey, summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one who had received the 2 talents also came forward, saying, Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But the master replied, You wicked and lazy servant, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of each one of our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Some words from the Gospel for today, St. Matthew chapter 25, verse 29. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. What does this parable of the talents say to people reading it now? Back in the noughties, an English academic was heard speaking on the parable, and he insisted that the parable had been misunderstood, that it should not have been read in a straightforward way, and that Jesus would never have commended someone who made 100% profit. Someone present objected that if he were
a barrow boy in London. He would probably need to sell apples for twice the price he paid for them in order to cover his expenses and have enough money over on which to live. The academic ignored the comment made and continued to talk about the ethic of profit. It is difficult to find exact figures. A margin of 50% might be closer to the reality for many street traders in our own times. But the point is that the 100% profit made by two of the people in Jesus' story is not so far removed from the reality of life for people now who rely on a good markup in order to make a living. Were the servants in the parable of the talents real business people in trading on their own account rather than being people working on behalf of their master? The ones who earned 5 more talents and 2 more talents would need to repay with interest the money they were given and would need to use the other half to reinvest in stock and equipment and to pay their taxes, and would find that their final profit margin was considerably less than the 100% of the parable. In real economics, Jesus does not seem to be suggesting daring or outrageous activity, but he is certainly not suggesting they were profiteers. What he seems to be suggesting is that the servants in the story get on with hard work necessary to produce a reasonable return, a return that the parable says in verse 19 was after a long time. Imagined in annual terms, the margin may have been no more than a few percent per year. How do the servants respond? The sums of money in the parable are huge. A talent was the equivalent of what a working man might earn in 20 years. The servant given the 2 talents might have complained that he had not been given 5, but instead goes out to make the most of what he has. The servant given the 1 talent believes his master and the world in which he lives to be harsh and unjust, so does nothing with what he has. The servant given the 1 talent is not thrown into outer darkness because he has failed. He is rejected because he has not even tried. "You wicked and lazy slave," says the master. The servant is wicked because he has not used honestly what he had been given. He is lazy because he has chosen to complain and to do nothing. The servant given the 1 talent is not asked for a greater response than that of the other 2 servants, but he chooses to make no response at all. Of course, Jesus' point is not about economics. It is about the kingdom of God. It is about how God's people use what they have been given in the service of their master. It is a hard parable. It says that God looks to us for a response, that his welcome depends on the response to him. Perhaps people would not be inclined to admit it, but for many, there are probably times when they feel like the servant given the 1 talent. They think they are poorer than they are. The servant given the 1 talent was entrusted with the sort of money of which an ordinary working man could only dream, just as people who have had the sort of wealth of which hundreds of millions in the world can only dream. The problem is that people tend to look not at what they have, but at what they don't have. Look not at what they could do, but at what others have done. Jesus realizes that the people know the world is a harsh place. They know it is a place that is filled with injustice. They know that wishing it were different does not change the facts of the situation. But what Jesus is saying to those who will listen is that in God's kingdom, how much or how little they have does not matter. Jesus is warning us against being like the servant given the one talent. He is warning us against being people who do not respond. For many people, the most difficult line in the parable is verse 29. For to all who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. It is a verse seen as justifying great economic inequality. But it is not about economics. It's about God's kingdom. Those who respond to Jesus are those welcomed into the kingdom. They will have an abundance, for there can be no greater abundance than eternal life. Those who refuse to respond have no place in the kingdom. They have nothing, and at the end, no matter how rich they are, even their wealth has gone. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.
Page 205, we affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
We believe in one God.
We believe in one God.
The Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. Lord of your people, may all who confess your name be faithful stewards of what has been entrusted to them. We pray for this diocese and for David, our bishop, and for this group of parishes. Keep all Christian people strong in faith and never weary in doing good. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of creation, into a world where many exploit the labors of others, bring a new spirit of cooperation and mutual respect. Bless Charles, our King, and all in positions of responsibility in both church and state. Guide each member of Parliament, each peer of the realm, and each assembly member, and overrule in the outcome of their deliberations, that in the mystery of the fulfillment of your will, there may serve in office those who seek others' good before their own, the execution of policies that conform to your will and the glory of your name. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of our relationships, bless us in our families with shared love and loyalty at all times. Give patience and wisdom when meeting neighbors and colleagues, especially those hostile to us. Make us more considerate of others and more appreciative of those who work for the good of this community. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of all healing, relieve and protect those who are sick or suffering. Be with those who have any special need, in particular Terence Hazley and David Keith. Also those afflicted by recent flooding and other natural disasters. Deliver all who know danger, violence, or unrest, especially in Gaza and other conflict areas of the world. Strengthen those who work for their relief. And we pray for those recently bereaved, thinking especially of Anne and the family circle of the late Archdeacon Billy Neal. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of eternity, bind us together by your Holy Spirit in communion with all who, having confessed the faith, have died in the peace of Christ. May we entrust ourselves and one another and our whole life to you, Lord God, and come with all your saints to the joys of your eternal kingdom. Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy. Remember to show kindness and to share what you have with others. for such are the sacrifices of which God approves. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Give the Lord the glory due to his name. Enter his courts with an offering. The offertory hymn from Thanks and Praise, number 26, Come, Lord, and meet us in this holy hour. Communion prayer on page 216. At the appropriate time, the words of the Holy, Holy, Holy may be found in the inset at the back of the prayer book. Let us pray. The Lord is here.
His presence with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father, Lord of all creation, we praise you for your goodness and your love. When we turned away, you did not reject us. You came to meet us in your Son, welcomed us as your children, and prepared a table where we might feast with you. In Christ, you shared our life that we might live in him and he in us. He opened wide his arms upon the cross, and with love stronger than death, he made the perfect sacrifice for sin. Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, on the night before you died, you came to table with your friends. Taking bread, you gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." At the end of supper, you took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me."
Lord Jesus, we bless you. We are true.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, giver of life, come upon us now. May this bread and wine be to us the body and blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
As we drink these holy gifts, may us to know our grace.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity, with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of thanks and praise and lift our voice to join the song of heaven, forever praising you and singing. Thanks be to you, our God, for your gift beyond words. Amen. 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 The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ.
We be many from one body, for we all share one another.
Draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith, with thanksgiving. Of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. Gracious Lord, in this holy sacrament you give substance to our hope. Bring us at the last to that pure life for which we long, through Jesus Christ, our Saviour.
Amen.
Almighty God,
for
feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Tomorrow night, a meeting of the Mothers' Union and of anybody else interested at 8 o'clock in the parochial hall. It is hoped to make a Christmas table centre decoration and to take part in other Christmas crafts. That's tomorrow night in the hall at 8 o'clock. On Wednesday evening, the bowling club meets in the hall at 8 o'clock. On Thursday evening, choir practice here in church at 8 o'clock. The Christmas fair this year takes place on Friday.
Friday, this coming Friday, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. in the parochial hall. And if I could make an appeal, please, for donations of various items of home baking, donations of bottles and other items suitable for a tombola stall, new toys, books in good condition, indeed, any other sellable items in relation to Christmas. Such items may be left in the hall on the night before, that's Thursday evening, from 7 o'clock. Service next Sunday, the Sunday before Advent, morning prayer at 10 o'clock. And separate to the fair, could I appeal for items in relation to the food bank? Food bank hampers are being made up at the end of this month, and our parish has been asked to donate bottles of Schlur and small selection boxes. Such items may be left here in church next Sunday or at the hall on the evening of Tuesday, the 28th of November, from 7 to 7:30. And a reminder of the visit of our bishop to the parish on Advent Sunday, the 3rd of December, at 10 o'clock. That will be followed by light refreshments in the parochial hall afterwards. The recessional hymn 346, Angel Voices Ever Singing Round Thy Throne of Light.